32. Talk to Federation of Women's Clubs. 2 May 1912. Hotel La Salle, Chicago, Illinois. Notes by Joseph H. Hannan. One of the functions of the sun is to quicken and reveal the hidden realities of the kingdoms of existence. Through the light and heat of the great central luminary, all that is potential in the earth is awakened and comes forth into the realm of the visible. The fruit hidden in the tree appears upon its branches in response to the power of the sun. Man and all other organisms live, move, and have their being under its developing rays. Nature is resplendent with countless evolutionary forms through its pervading impulse, so that we can say a function of the sun is the revelation of the mysteries and creative purposes hidden within the phenomenal world. The outer sun is a sign or symbol of the inner and ideal Sun of Truth, the Word of God. Inasmuch as this is the century of light, it is evident that the Sun of Reality, the Word, has revealed itself to all mankind. One of the potentialities hidden in the realm of humanity was the capability or capacity of womanhood. Through the effulgent rays of divine illumination, the capacity of woman has become so awakened and manifest in this age that equality of man and woman is an established fact. In past ages, woman was wronged and oppressed. This was especially the case in Asia and Africa. In certain parts of Asia, women were not considered as members of humankind. They were looked upon as inferior, unworthy creatures, subordinate and subject to man. A certain people, known as the Nosairis, held to the belief for a long period that woman was the incarnation of the evil spirit, or Satan, and that man alone was the manifestation of God the Merciful. At last, this century of light dawned. The realities shone forth and the mysteries, long hidden from human vision, were revealed. Among these revealed realities was the great principle of the equality of man and woman, which is now finding recognition throughout the whole world, America, Europe, and the Orient. History records the appearance in the world of women who have been signs of guidance, power, and accomplishment. Some were notable poets, some philosophers and scientists, others courageous upon the field of battle. Quratul Ayn, a Baha'i, was a poetess. She discomfited the learned men of Persia by her brilliancy and fervor. When she entered a meeting, even the learned were silent. She was so well versed in philosophy and science that those in her presence always considered and consulted her first. Her courage was unparalleled. She faced her enemies fearlessly until she was killed. She withstood a despotic king, the Shah of Persia, who had the power to decree the death of any of his subjects. There was not a day during which he did not command the execution of some. This woman, singly and alone, withstood such a despot until her last breath, then gave her life for her faith. Consider the mysteries revealed during the last half century, all due to the effulgence of the Sun of Reality, which has been so gloriously manifested in this age and cycle. In this day, man must investigate reality impartially and without prejudice in order to reach the true knowledge and conclusions. What then constitutes the inequality between man and woman? Both are human, In powers and function, each is the complement of the other. At most it is this, that woman has been denied the opportunities which man has so long enjoyed, especially the privilege of education. But even this is not always a shortcoming. Shall we consider it an imperfection and weakness in her nature that she is not proficient in the school of military tactics, that she cannot go forth to the field of battle and kill, that she is not able to handle a deadly weapon? Nay, rather, is it not a compliment when we say that in hardness of heart and cruelty, she is inferior to man? The woman who is asked to arm herself and kill her fellow creatures will say, "I cannot." Is this to be considered a fault and lack of qualification as man's equal? Yet be it known that if woman had been taught and trained in the military science of slaughter, she would have been the equivalent of man, even in this accomplishment. But God forbid, may woman never attain this proficiency, may she never wield weapons of war, for the destruction of humanity is not a glorious achievement. The upbuilding of a home, the bringing of joy and comfort into human hearts, are truly glories of mankind. Let not a man glory in this, that he can kill his fellow creatures. Nay, rather, let him glory in this, that he can love them. When we consider the kingdoms of existence below man, we find no distinction or estimate of superiority and inferiority between male and female. Among the myriad organisms of the vegetable and animal kingdoms, sex exists, but there is no differentiation whatever as to relative importance and value in the equation of life. If we investigate impartially, we may even find species in which the female is superior or preferable to the male. For instance, there are trees such as the fig, the male of which is fruitless, while the female is fruitful. The male of the date palm is valueless, while the female bears abundantly. Inasmuch as we find no ground for distinction or superiority according to the creative wisdom in the lower kingdoms, is it logical or becoming of man to make such distinction in regard to himself? The male of the animal kingdom does not glory in its being male and superior to the female. In fact, equality exists and is recognized. Why should man, a higher and more intelligent creature, deny and deprive himself of this equality the animals enjoy? His surest index and guide as to the creative intention concerning himself are the conditions and analogies of the kingdoms below him, where equality of the sexes is fundamental. The truth is that all mankind are the creatures and servants of one God, and in his estimate, all are human. Man is a generic term applying to all humanity. The biblical statement, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness," does not mean that woman was not created. The image and likeness of God apply to her as well. In Persian and Arabic, there are two distinct words translated into English as man. One meaning man and woman collectively, the other distinguishing man as male from woman, the female. The first word and its pronoun are generic, collective. The other is restricted to the male. This is the same in Hebrew. To accept and observe a distinction which God has not intended in creation is ignorance and superstition. The fact which is to be considered, however, is that woman, having formerly been deprived, must now be allowed equal opportunities with man for education and training. There must be no difference in their education. Until the reality of equality between man and woman is fully established and attained, the highest social development of mankind is not possible. Even granted that woman is inferior to man in some degree of capacity or accomplishment, this or any other distinction would continue to be productive of discord and trouble. The only remedy is education, opportunity, for equality means equal qualification. In brief, the assumption of superiority by man will continue to be depressing to the ambition of woman, as if her attainment to equality were creationally impossible. Woman's aspiration towards advancement will be checked by it, and she will gradually become hopeless. On the contrary, we must declare that her capacity is equal, even greater than man's. This will inspire her with hope and ambition, and her susceptibilities for advancement will continually increase. She must not be told and taught that she is weaker and inferior in capacity and qualification. If a pupil is told that his intelligence is less than his fellow pupils, it is a very great drawback and handicap to his progress. He must be encouraged to advance by the statement, "You are most capable, and if you endeavour, you will attain the highest degree." It is my hope that the banner of equality may be raised throughout the 5 continents, where as yet it is not fully recognised and established. In this enlightened world of the West, woman has advanced an immeasurable degree beyond the women of the Orient. And let it be known once more that until woman and man recognise and realise equality, social and political progress, here or anywhere, will not be possible. For the world of humanity consists of 2 parts or members. One is woman, the other is man. Until these 2 members are equal in strength, the oneness of humanity cannot be established, and the happiness and felicity of mankind will not be a reality. God willing, this is to be so.